The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Ian, you're on. This is episode 3, season 33 of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Jared and the team at Kerr's Hire, they could hire you anything, King. Absolutely anything. Look, Kingy, we've got Cat Attack Podcast, Kingy, coming to you left, right and centre. This is the Cyclone Alfred edition of the Cat Attack Podcast. Alfred in the Batcave has caused all sorts of mayhem at the Woolloongabba. And the Cats, unfortunately,
it's about to, though.
There's people in the term we became accustomed to, Kingy, during COVID, lockdown.
Yeah.
So they're cutting off all sorts of things in the city, and unfortunately the Cats game will not go ahead, but we will go ahead with the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. And Kingy, we've got an exciting new segment in the Cat Attack Podcast.
Can you please explain?
Do you reckon anybody's ever said when they're having a new segment used anything other than exciting?
Yeah.
You're unlikely to say we have got the shittest segment ever. It's like having two Valium and will cause an involuntary spasm. But we've got a segment that is the polar opposite of that, and we'll let you know about that a little bit later. It's going to be every episode, and you can play along at home, Kingy. You can play along at home. So do not touch that dial, even though if you're on a podcast, there's no dial involved. But we're still on the waves, Kingy, on the airwaves, so we have to say do not touch that dial.
Right, okay. What do you want to talk about?
Well, we'll talk about the footy, King. We're talking about the round one game that's not actually happening. It's been rescheduled for Saturday night. Yes, sorry.
Round one's still going.
Okay, I'll get confused a little bit, but anyway. Yes. So the Cats playing Saturday night, the Lions at the Gabba in round three.
That's what we're expecting.
Yeah, that's the expectation. Well,
it'll be a Fox game too.
Will that allow anybody to... was Bailey Smith in any doubt to play tomorrow night?
No.
Right, he was...
Sean Manor won't be right.
Oh, yeah. He said he was right for round one. That was 2 weeks ago.
He was hoping to be right.
So 3 weeks' time, surely he'd be right.
No. Well, he might be right for the Brisbane game.
Right, so this is what I'm saying.
You're talking about the Brisbane game.
Who will be available that may not have been available for tomorrow night if the game went ahead?
Right.
Manor
will be potentially right.
Yes. When do the VFL kick off? When do they have a practice match that he might be able to play?
They were due to have an intra-club this week. That's been canned because of the fact the Cats will now train today, which is Wednesday, and they'll train Friday as well. The VFL gets the Tijuana, and VFL practice match will be 10:30 next Saturday at Deakin, and then the Cats play Freo at 20 past one. So anybody that doesn't play in... So I don't think... Manor may play in that. You'd think Jack Martin's playing in that. I don't think Conway, Cam Guthrie, those guys.
Would Jack Martin be able to play his way into the team for round three?
Potentially, yep. Yeah, he started to build.
It's certainly not the worst thing in the world for the Cats, Kingy.
No.
But it also allows players like Stasevich, he'll be right for that game. He wasn't going to be able to play tomorrow night.
Geelong don't really benefit from it being pushed back to round three.
No. Lions probably do.
Yeah, they probably do.
But having won the grand final and woking up a bit groggy,
yeah,
after that. Have you ever woken up groggy?
Yeah, I reckon I'm going to wake up groggy on Sunday.
Why?
So we've got a big Saturday night, Bernie.
What's on Saturday night?
Pearl Jam Experience.
Oh, we have too, that's right. Yeah, well, jeez. Yeah, we have actually.
I'm going to separate myself from you at some stage in the night. I will be nowhere near you.
Possibly.
I don't want any involvement with you.
No, well, that's probably a wise move, Kingy. So, looking forward to that, actually. I'm looking forward to a bit of Alice in Chains and a bit of Stone Temple Pilots. So that will be, I'd be interested to see how many punters get along with that, Kingy.
Oh, I'd say it'd be packed.
Do you think it'll be packed?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Right.
What does that hold?
Is it the same lead singer in all three bands?
No, they're different bands.
They're all different bands,
aren't they? So one is called...
Alice Remains.
Mm-hmm. The other is called Plush.
Yes.
And
but I just wonder, sometimes the lead singers can jump over and do a little bit of both.
They are three different bands.
Right, well, I'm really looking forward to that. I haven't been out. I'm the eternal flame, Tom. I don't go out.
What does the beer barn hold out the back at Barwon Club?
Oh, look, Kingy, I'm not...
Does it hold 400 or 500?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
I reckon though.
400 is yeah, you don't want too many in there.
No. What's the takeaway from the Essendon practice match?
The takeaway, Kingy, from the Essendon match. Have we not had anything since then?
No, we haven't.
Right, sorry about that.
We had a podcast today
before. I'm up with it, Kingy. I'm up with it.
Yeah.
The takeaway was that the ruck is a issue. Draper, he absolutely tore Sam De Koning apart. Hmm. I've got a theory, Kingy.
Yes, Ben. What is your theory?
My theory, do you want to hear it? Am I allowed to voice it?
You are.
My theory is that Sam De Koning, and I know that I'm on about him being a defender, he's a very good key defender. he isn't physical enough to play in the ruck. He's a nice footballer. And I'm not having a go at him.
No.
He's very suited to playing in defence because he's quicker than you think.
Yep.
He's got good range and he actually takes a good mark. You have to be physical in the ruck. Name me one ruckman. Well, I could probably name one, maybe. Name me one ruckman who you think is a very, very good player who isn't physical.
Well, it's hard off.
So Oscar McInerney?
Physical.
Yeah, he's all arms and legs, sharp elbows and knees.
Yep.
Not the prettiest player in the world, but physical.
Yep.
Sam Draper.
Yep.
He's got a bit more to his game than McInerney.
Yep.
Unbelievably physical. To an extent, and he's a good player, but Grundy is quite physical.
Yep.
Big-bodied player who plays with a bit of physicality. Yep. Give me some other ones.
Gawn,
physical.
Mm. Riley O'Brien.
Physical.
Yep.
My point is that he's just not physical. It's not in his game. His brother has it at Carlton. His brother is physical. Sam is not physical, so he is going to get his pants pulled down by anybody. Look, he'll take the odd nice mark around the ground. He probably gets involved in general play. And do you know what? We've just got basically a downgrade, and this is hard to say this, we've got a downgrade on Reece Stanley.
Mm.
Reece Stanley's not physical. That's been the whole problem with him. That's why his consistency is horrible, because he's not physical. Now we've got a bloke who's not physical, who's not even a ruckman.
Yep.
So that was the biggest problem we've got there, Kingy, and they're going to keep banging away with Sam Dukani in the ruck.
Sherry's physical at North Melbourne.
Yes, the trade is they're all physical.
Yep.
Damien Burke, remember big Damien Burke? He'd go up in the ruck, he'd take out seven players on the way through running towards centre forward with his elbows. He was physical. I just don't. Sam Dukani, he doesn't have it in him. He just does not have it in him. The other one, Kingy, for me was the midfield looked younger, looked pedestrian, without Dangerfield doing much work in there, without. We had Holmes and no Smith. They looked very. I know Dangerfield played pretty much, I reckon, 85% of his game time. He played up forward.
Yep.
He went into the middle, I reckon, in the last quarter for a few minutes.
He did.
But so I get that they've got some players there, but those guys coming through, I thought Nevitt was okay, but he's a workman.
We got worked.
Tom Atkins is a workman.
So we questioned whether he'd be on the plane to Brisbane. A few people have worked us over on social media saying, what were we looking at? I didn't think Mitch Nevitt did anything that caught the eye.
He had a good first half. He got fumbly in the second half when the Stewie Jew started to take hold. I thought he did enough to get a spot.
Yeah.
But my point is that Atkins, workmanlike. Jai Clark came on and had 10 possessions in the third quarter. I thought he looked pretty good, but he's a workman-like sort of player. You've got...
Bose was good,
yeah. He did play well.
And he was good in the match.
He's workman-like.
Yep.
He's not flashy. No. Tanner Bruin is workman-like.
Yep.
Who else have we got there?
Smith,
Holmes and Dangerfield are the opposite to that.
Stewart will spend some time in the midfield.
Yeah, I don't know about that either, but...
He did.
He went in there. Jeremy Cameron played absolutely everywhere, which sometimes infuriates me, because as much as Jeremy Cameron is a superstar of the competition, he causes you to get a sphincter valve that goes in and out like at a rapid rate when he gets the ball in defence, because he has no real awareness of what's around him. He doesn't handball the ball. He's got the 80s handball theory of, if I'm caught a top potato, I'm not going to handball it to anyone. So he does very well. He roams up the ground, and I always shudder when I see him getting the ball inside the back half.
Well, he got it up against the boundary line in the back pocket at one stage, didn't he?
He did, but it's okay if he marks it, but if it's general play, it's you do not get the ball there.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him just not work too much forward or centre. I mean, I know you have to work up every now and then, but he seems to spend a lot of time, you know, way up the ground. And then when he's way up the ground, you're not kicking to a whole lot. I thought the defence looked pretty good. I reckon Jack Henry's, if he stays fit, is in for a really good year.
Geelong's defence is.
I think Colin Jasny does enough. I don't know why he seems to be on the outer. The other one, the glaring one, Kingy, was, they love him, but I'm yet to be convinced, is Mullen.
Yep.
He got absolutely cooked by that kid playing his first game.
Yeah, Kako.
Yeah.
Yep.
We had Buse playing in the twos.
Yep.
Now, I'm no rocket scientist, but Mullen, I don't know what position he plays. Where do they want him to play? They want him to be attacking to use his speed. He doesn't get the ball. He can't really defend. That kid made him look stupid.
Mm.
And you've got Buse, who that's his role. Yep. That's what he does well.
Lockdown
who also can provide you with a bit of run at times, Buse. He's not slow. He's quite powerful. I just don't know where they're going with that. If it was tomorrow night and Mullen rolled out into Charlie Cameron, I would have to get under the desk.
Yeah.
I don't see what they're seeing in Mullen. Now, will he keep improving? Hopefully. But is it going to be at the expense of losing games because the players he is going to play on, or they are going to ask him to play on, are match winners? And if he's coughing up 3 to 4 goals a game on these guys, that could be the difference between winning and losing. I think it's a real... And you can't... Like, I know they played Atkins across halfback. He can't play on anyone that's quick.
Yep.
I don't know why they're playing Atkins at halfback when you've already got those players. Why Busey's got to be a better option at halfback than Tom Atkins.
Yep.
Humphreys. He's out of favour. Why is he out of favour, Jed Buse?
I don't know.
What is the go?
I'm not.
This is the 2 years in a row now they do not like him.
Yep. But then he was in favour when the whips were cracking.
But then he got the arse, didn't he?
No.
Late.
No, he played in the finals.
Did he? Yep. All bowl finals?
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah. He played all right when he played, but he's got the experience, he's got the power, he's got the speed to play the role that they're asking somebody to play who could not contain a bloke playing his first game.
Mitch Duncan, the curious case of...
Well, Kingy, do you know the expression, do you know what the football expression is? The jungle drums are beating. Was he playing tomorrow night? I don't think he was.
Don't know.
No.
We'll never know.
No, we'll never know.
Well,
unless we creep into the club in the middle of the night,
yeah,
and see what's on a desk.
You could do that.
Possibly, like the man who did that with the polo top and took the van. Do you hear about that? Have you ever not heard this story?
No.
This actually happened.
Go on.
So there must have been a man at home on a, I don't know what afternoon it was, one of the days ending in Y, and he had nothing to do. So he thought, what I'll do is I will go and I'll put on my Geelong polo top and I will go down to the club and I will wander through the catch shop and I will end up in the club and I will steal the keys to the van, the club van, and I will drive it to Werribee.
Did this happen?
Yes. A man did that.
Right.
And he was apprehended with a Geelong van in Werribee that he'd secured through putting his cat's top on and going through the cat shop and ending up inside the club.
You got to have swipe passes and all
well,
that
sort
of stuff.
Well, someone must have swiped, he went in. But the thing is, I mean, I don't know, how can you...
Dad didn't know what key it was.
Well, exactly right. But this happened. You know,
this is an urban myth, isn't it?
No. Because
when did it happen?
Because do you know how I know this happened? Because somebody told me, I won't throw them under the bus, and I was a bit sceptical.
Or under the van.
Yes, under the van. I was a bit sceptical that it actually transpired.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, the person who told me is not the sort of person that would normally come up. I mean, if I told you that, you would say that is absolute baloney.
Yeah.
But this guy is not like that. Anyway, and I know this is probably at Troy Selwood's funeral.
Yep.
I was introduced to somebody who is no longer at the Cats, but was involved at the Cats.
Yep.
Prior to the service starting, I made a little bit of joke about the guy who took the van. And he said to me, that was unbelievable. So I knew right then and there that it was 100% true, because I'd never met this guy.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, he said, that was extraordinary that happened.
Took the van. Well, like the merch van or something like that.
Yeah, the merch van went on a trip to Werribee.
He got caught up with
it. Yeah, he was apprehended.
Right. There you go.
So if you want to do anything at the Cats, King, just get your polo top on and wander down there.
So Mitch Duncan, we'll find out for next week.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that they've backed themselves into the corner here and that they're going to have to play him. And it's going to have to be...
He's going to play because they'll get him to 300.
Are we running a footy club or
It's four games.
Yeah, I honestly can see that, but you're trying to win a premiership. You're playing a bloke who you don't think is good enough, so you can get him in 300 games, and then what you say, do you want to be that player that is given the last four games of your career when you are doing...
Well, they obviously see some value in him.
Well, I can't see it. What is it? He's done nothing in a year.
We'll ask the question next time an Andrew Mackey...
Well, they'll give us some absolute palaver that he's, you know, fantastic.
You've
and
been waiting to use the word palaver.
I love palaver. I had a palaver and Coke last night.
Talking about... Remember we had the Matt Spanger and Coke?
Yeah.
Matt Spanger won the Phil Walsh scholarship.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, which is really good. I was just sort of Spanger and I've just gone, and Coke.
The Spanger and Coke and completely Rhett Bazzo after you have a few Spangers and Coke. But what was you talking about? Oh, Mitch Duncan.
Yeah.
Look, I may be old-fashioned, but this is AFL footy. This is not club footy. This is not St. Joey's trying to get a bloke to 300 games. This is trying to win a premiership. And you're getting players like Bailey Smith in to win a premiership. You've got Jeremy Cameron in. Now, I know they won the premiership 2 years ago. But if you were playing a bloke who is an absolute liability for four games, purely to say, oh, we got him to 300 games, I think you're off the mark. And you're doing a disservice to your members by doing that. Now, I hope Mitch Duncan comes in and plays well because we know Mitch Duncan a little bit. He's a great bloke. He's had a great career at Geelong. I'm not in any way, shape or form disparaging towards Mitch Duncan. I just think that he's had a very, in what we've seen in exposed form in the two games, he's been very, very average. He was very average last year with no injuries. He had a continuity in his footy. He couldn't get near it. I just don't think they've pulled the right rein. But if they don't play him in the first round, when would you possibly be bringing him in? When would you be bringing him in? You wouldn't. Particularly if they win. I mean, who would he replace? Where does he play? I hope it doesn't happen, but I think this is going to end up a bit of a shitstorm for the Cats in terms of media with pressure on Mitch Duncan.
Okay. What else do you take away from the Bombers game?
Well, that was probably my three biggest takeaways were Mullen, the ruck, and the midfield looking just like an average midfield without some players in it, which you could say about any midfield. But I just thought there's too many of the same. Cloese came in, one-pace grinder. There's too many one-pace grinders in there, and we've got to find a way.
But with Smith and Holmes,
Dangerfield as well. So let's see. I'd be interested to see how it all works when they... Because I don't think Cloese will be getting a game.
Yep.
Hopefully he does at some point, but I don't think he's in the team early on.
Oh, he's a rookie.
I thought Jai Clark was good in the 10 touches in the third term, but anyway, we'll see what happens. But I just think that they're all a bit one-paced. It'd just be like one of them to have. They're two the same. You can't have... I think you can have... I know you've saying that we've got the difference makers are Smith, Holmes and Dangerfield, which is fine. But those other sort of four are all basically identical type players. So the only one being different is, and I mention it all the time, is Nevitt is taller and can take a mark. But he needs to get some game time to get the confidence to do that.
So you're just rolling games into Nevitt. So this is the counter to your argument about Duncan. Are we just getting games into Nevitt?
Yeah.
But aren't we?
Do I want Nevitt playing or Mitch Duncan? I want Nevitt playing.
Yep.
And if I don't know, if we did a poll on our Cat Attack podcast listeners, I'd be staggered if it wasn't heavily weighted toward Nevitt playing over a player like Mitch Duncan.
So Dockers next Saturday, 1:20.
At GMHBA.
GMHBA Stadium, where we will welcome a new addition to the Carrick football team.
We will, Zach Toohey.
Zach Toohey's...
I saw that little video he did of going into the pub at home in Ireland.
He's been back in
Ireland. His parents were there, did you see that?
Yeah, they surprised them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are welcoming Zach next week.
Yes, looking forward to that. King, I think he'll be a very, very good addition to K-Rock footy.
Flicking between he and also Mark Neal.
We've got an A1 team there because, I mean, Zach's straight out of the game and he has a good association with the players at the club, but he also likes to keep it, you know, relatively light-hearted, but knows when it needs to be professional. So I think he'll fit in beautifully, Kingy.
Yeah, to some questions.
Do you want to do our segment?
You want to do our segment. Okay, exciting new segment.
This is our exciting... This is our shit new segment that we're unrolling. We're going on the polar opposite. No, we've got an exciting new segment. So when I put out a few weeks ago that if anybody had any thoughts about how we could, you know, maybe provide something that's a bit different or, you know, talk about whatever something fans out there might be... Cat fans, that is, might be interested in hearing. We had a call from Hydro.
Right.
So Hydro, so named because Hydro used to run water for Leopold and he named himself the Hydration Monitor.
Right.
He also, I think, was president of the club. But so he came up with a suggestion for a segment that we could do and we're going to call it Hydro's Heroes.
Right.
So what we're doing, Kingy... This is the summary of how this will work. This will go on each week. We're going to talk about three numbers in the Cats. Let's range it from 1 to 46.
Yep.
Cut it off at Mark Blitzarves with 46.
Yep.
1 to 46. We're going to do a team of the best players to wear that number across the last 50-odd years.
Yep.
So we'll talk about... So what it will do is bring up blasts from the past about player who wore that number, this number. We will end up having... You can jot them down as we go each week.
Mm.
And then at the end of it, we can have a Hydro's Heroes team.
You're going to do that. That's your little...
I can do that. And, I mean, there's a couple that are obvious.
Yep.
The 14 will be
Cam Thurley.
Yeah, will be Cam Thurley, or it might be Steve Hanley.
Darren Flanagan.
Chopper. Chopper Hanley.
Big Durr Flanagan.
Could be Durr from that 89 grand final effort. So it just gives us some names. Look, Joel Selwood is a lock, but there's a lot of them that aren't. Mm. There's a lot of those numbers that aren't. So today, Kingy, we are going to talk about, I'll give you these numbers, Kingy, because Hydro sent them through to me earlier. This weekend, this podcast, I have to, you're supposed to be padding here, Kingy. Yep. 1, 11.
Yep.
Peter Featherby, and 33.
All right.
Bruce Nedkervis.
All right. So.
And who else wore that? Peter White. Peter White wore 33?
33. Yep. Did Darren Forsman wear 33?
Yeah. I know Dags, good golfer.
He's a good fella.
I grew up with Dags.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Good fella. Who else wore the 33? George Holland Smith.
Yes, he did.
Paul Corrigan wore the 33.
He 100% he did, Kingy.
Jared became Max Rook.
Yes. Hey, what a player he was. You know what he was famous for? Was that the first tackle of the 09 grand final on Raph Clark?
Yep.
That resulted in a sausage roll?
Yep.
For the Pussycats?
Didn't he kick the first and the last of the 09 grand final?
I think he did, after the siren.
Yep. Terry Fulton was a very...
Terry Fulton?
Played in the 51-52 flags, although he didn't play enough games, did he?
No, he didn't.
No, he did. He played 51.
So the last 5 years, Kingy, this is the homework that Hydro has sent in.
Yep.
We've got Corrigan, Holland Smith, Bruce Nedkervis,
yep,
and Max Rook,
yep,
of the last 50 years to play 50 or more games.
So are we limiting to
50? No, we'll mention the others, but you probably have to have played 50 to get into the team.
Yeah, Terry Fulton did.
Oh, he did?
And a two-time premiership.
What century was he going?
No, he was in the 50s.
Right, so we're sort of trying to keep it from 75 plus.
Okay, all right.
But we can mention, don't limit yourself. We can mention players, because there might be a Cat Attack podcast listener who has the Terry Fulton footy card.
I think Bruce Nedkervis is the winner of that.
Absolutely, Kingy.
Yep.
What a star he was. How many games did he play?
250-odd.
He was left footer.
200.
He was what you call, he was just your rock-solid sort of mop-up halfback.
253.
Yep.
From 1979-83, recruited from?
Was it South Barwon?
Oh, Barwon.
Or Barwon,
yeah,
back then?
Barwon Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So he would be your lock in the 33.
Absolutely.
With an apology to Max Rook.
Yes. I would have thought that's the way to go. Max Rook played in a far more successful era, but Bruce Nedkervis, and he was just he was like a mop-up machine, wasn't he? He was sort of, was he before his time a little bit as a defender in that he'd get it 25 times as a halfback,
yep,
which is the norm now, but it wasn't back then. And yeah, old Brucey. Is he still about, Bruce?
Yep.
Is he having an electrical business?
He was an electrician, yeah, I believe.
He'd be retired now.
Yeah, I suspect, yeah. Ian was a teacher. Ian was a teacher, moved up and taught on the sunny coast,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
He was going to be Geelong's cup presenter in 2020.
Right.
If the Cats won the flag.
Unfortunately, he was not required, Kingy. So we've locked in Bruce Nedkervis. So that doesn't mean Bruce doesn't necessarily end up in the team. He's just going to be the nomination for wearing number 33.
Are we picking a first and a second team?
Well, we can.
Because we'll have 46 numbers.
Yeah, we can do that, Kingy. We can have a two, we can have a ones and twos like that, and they can have an intra-club.
Yeah.
Yes, number one. Wayne Closter. Did he wear one?
Yes. And worked for 3GL.
Yeah, father of Trav, who I grew up with. Yes. Wayne, you're right too. He did. Good, loves his golf, Wayne. Yep. Yeah. So I think he still lives up in Highton.
Yep.
There's another one there, Kingy, that I sort of always have a chuckle and it comes to mind when I think of one. It won't come to everyone's mind, is Malcolm Reid.
Yep.
Because do you know why? Because my father taught Malcolm Reid. He was doing mechanical engineering out at Deakin.
Yep.
And my dad taught him for about 3 or 4 years.
From Inverleigh?
Yes. So he went out to the Deekster and was taught by the great Alan Casanelli.
And that would have been in the early days of Deakin too.
Very early.
Late dad, 70s.
Dad was an institution at the Deekster.
Where you could actually park the car basically at the main building.
There was no O-Week back then.
No.
But Malcolm Reid was, it goes to show you how much football's changed, doesn't it? He spent all day at uni and then went to training.
Stephen King?
Well, former captain. How many games did Big... He was injured a lot.
180-odd.
Yeah.
193.
From a long career.
193.
He was injured a lot.
96 to 2007.
Steve Hocking.
Yeah.
41-1.
Started in the 41.
Yeah, he went to 41-1.
Yep.
And Reece Stanley.
And Steve Hocking too was, put it this way, when Lee Matthews got Neville Bruns.
Yes.
Steve Hocking.
Steve was in the vicinity.
Steve might have delivered some retribution.
He may have delivered a bit, it was sort of like a sniper from the yeah, on top of the up. Building. Yeah,
yeah.
Which Lee Matthews didn't see coming. No. So and the other you mentioned that. So Reece Stanley was the other one wearing one, who's a premiership player. Who would you be going with there?
Just going back to, I know we're only doing the last 50 years.
Who else wore one?
Bruce Morrison was a gun defender.
Oh, Murray.
Yeah.
Hell, when did Murray suit up in the
for the Pussycats? 51-52 premiership player.
Right. Mm. Okay.
You've got to remember, the 51-52 boys, other than the VFA flags the Cats won pre-VFL, are the only boys to play in consecutive flags at Geelong.
Yes.
And there's 24, there's 24 that played across the two teams, so there were 16, and Bruce is only one of 16 players to have done that. So he has to be talked about.
Feather in his cap.
And Les Armstrong was a very good player in the very early era as well. Played 175 games. Wayne Kloster.
You're going with Wayne Kloster?
I'm going with Wayne Kloster.
As the best player?
In number one.
Oh, geez. That's if.
And Wayne Kloster would have played more footy, but he was called up to do national service.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are we?
Although he's 64-275, so we're ruling him out because his last year was 75.
No, he was. No, he's in 75, 50 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he played 1 year, but his career mostly. But he did transcend that 1 year, so we can take in the remainder of his career.
And in his last year, he only played. I don't reckon he played a whole heap. He played 16 in his last year.
Would it be, if they went over the line, it would be a three-way go, wouldn't it, between Kloster, Hocking and King?
Oh, it would be.
Yeah. I'm happy to go with Wayne Kloster.
Yep.
As the best number one of the last 50 years for the Cats. And the final number, King, we are talking about is, there's going to be plenty to talk about here.
Oh, the 11.
Well, my favourite player initially, one of my favourite all-time Cats, Joel Corey.
Yep. Well, he just, it's him.
Absolutely, he was a gun, and the other one that always sparked my interest, and I mentioned him when I was doing the intro before.
Peter Fenderby.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I mean in the '80s, he was the sort of player that I used to sit home and listen on the radio at home.
My
mum was baking up a sponge, and he would just rack them up, and his name stood out. He came from WA. He was a big sort of recruit. You know, they were trumped up back then in terms of.
Well, he played a couple of years at Footscray.
Yeah. But he was WA originally, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, so.
Then he went to Ammo.
I always remember Peter Fetherby because he was just an absolute ball winner. Ron Hosking?
Yep.
Wore the 11? What years did Ron?
Nah, Ron was in the 60s.
Right, he was in the 60s, yeah. So Ron's not eligible.
Mr. KFC.
And another Geelong product, Kingy.
Yeah.
Old Darren Morgan.
Mad Dog.
Otherwise known as More Goals.
Started in the 43.
Yes, he did, and went to 11.
After?
He had some speed. He wasn't a bad player.
Who did you take the 11 off?
Darren Troy.
No.
Alan Woodman.
No.
Probably
the best player to wear.
Les Armstrong. I don't know who.
Greg Williams.
Greg Williams, geez, it's a bit of a downgrade of the track there, wasn't it?
Darren Troy wore 10, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just pulling out names, King. Yeah. I was about to say Umberto Bertucci was my next player, but he didn't play for the Cats.
Yeah, he didn't.
He's a singer, isn't he?
AC Milan, didn't he?
Isn't he a singer?
I don't know.
I think he's a singer.
Right.
We've got a couple. Alan Woodman wore the 11.
He did.
Yes.
He only played 58 games, but.
I played with his brother, Wayne Woodman.
At Bannockburn?
Yeah, and. Fair to say, Wayne was. He didn't always play within the rules. Wayne, when he played, he used to go outside the rules.
So Greg Williams falls short because he didn't play 50. Only played 34 for the Cats.
Yes, he didn't. Which is he would have been an absolute Monty. The other one, there's a couple there. Disappointing. We didn't see the entirety of his career, but Tim Kelly.
Yeah, Tim Kelly was so fun to watch for that couple of years.
Yeah, he was.
And look, he was beneficiary of being about the fourth banana in that midfield.
Yep.
At the time. But geez, he was fun. Like, he was fun to watch.
Absolutely good. And the other one I like to mention is Lee Tudor,
yep.
Otherwise known as Lurker.
Okay.
Who my story, King? I think I've told this on this podcast before. When Lee Tudor did that inside out barrel off the left, and Gary Ablett marked it in the goal square against Mick Martin and put the Cats into the grand final. There was one game. There was one night the Cats played, and it was outside Marvel Stadium, and Lurker wasn't working clearly because he was fizzed and he'd had his suit on and his tie was a bit skew-iff, and he may have even had a Morton, just a soothing Morton.
Right.
And we were a bit windy ourselves, and he was clearly quite windy, and we asked him to reenact it.
And he did.
He did. On the concourse outside of Marvel Stadium. Right. So he was a little. How many games did Lurker play?
Geelong played 60.
60, yeah, I was going to say four in the 50s.
Four seasons.
Tim Evans?
Yeah, went and kicked a power of goals in the Sandful. He was from Tassie originally, from what memory. Was a defender at Geelong.
From memory or memory?
From memory. Went to Port Adelaide in the Sandful and turned into one of the greatest goal kickers of all time.
I don't remember Tim Evans.
No, early 70s.
Right.
Early 70s.
And the other one?
You were born in 71?
71, yeah.
Yeah, he had his first. He was 71 to 74.
So are we happy? We're locking in.
I think it's Joel Corey. Yeah. Look, and this is
two-time best and fairest.
Obviously, Bernie Smith wore number 11, but we are looking at 75 onwards.
Yeah.
If you were looking beyond that, Bernie Smith is in the Geelong team of the century, Brownlow medalist.
So he would be. He'd be right in the mix.
Correct.
He'd be in the photo finish with Joel Corey. I think two-time best and fairest.
Yep.
Three-time premiership player.
And barely spoke a word.
Yeah, he did. I'd interviewed him a few times when I was with Inside Footy. He was a really nice bloke, Joel Corey, really hard worker. He was enormous. Yeah. Standing next to him, he was 192. He was the prototype midfielder, big midfielder before there were big midfielders.
Before Crips.
He was like 6'4", built like an Amazon.
Yeah.
Came over here as a 17-year-old, first round pick of the Cats. And yeah, look, he was an absolute star. Never said a word, but an absolute star. And I know, like, obviously really, as you'd imagine, really highly respected within that group, which contained an absolute crap load of stars.
Done at 31.
Yeah. They got him out the door. He wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Never sat foot in the place since.
Yeah.
So we're going with Joel Corey at 11.
Yep.
We're going with Wayne Kloster at 1.
Yep.
And we're going with Bruce Nankervis at 33. So there's Hydro's heroes for this week on the Kerr's High Counter-Attack podcast. And the numbers for next week, Kingy. So this is where you can play along at home and just give us any of your thoughts on these sorts of various players who are wearing numbers 2. Ooh, Lee Colbert springs to mind. 15. Well, there's a pretty good left-footer player on the wing wearing 15. And 35 is going to cause some consternation, Kingy. Consternation, well, because there's two that spring to mind, modern-day players, who I know some will say it's one, but, geez, I don't know. I don't know if you'd leave the other one out. So 2, 15 and 35 for next week.
Scratch and eel.
Scratch and Neal was one. He was a good player. He's not in the same. Anyway, we'll go through them next week. But I reckon that one will come down to. We might have to get some sort of develop print to get.
Do we need to get the? Do we need to do it under government supervision?
We need Marianne Van Dorsler and Gavin Wood to be here as the numbers, as the balls, Kingy, go around in the thing.
Yep. Do you want some questions?
Yeah, did you ever used to like watching the balls go round in that thing?
In Tats Lotto.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of.
Because it went in.
Hypnotic.
In Powerball, you know, the Powerball used to come out at the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you'd had sort of anything that was slightly on the funny side prior to that happening, it used to just really. And you had your 3D goggles on. It was extraordinary scenes, Kingy, when the in Powerball.
All right. Off the. Carol Footy X, KFCX. Ben at the Cattery says, is it time for tariffs in the AFL? I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Is it time for tariffs?
I'm not sure either, Kingy.
I think it's a question for Donald, isn't it?
As in taxing players who are not performing?
Potentially.
There's a bit of a bombshell too in the State Parliament, I think. Was it State Parliament, Federal Parliament, the AFL, the drugs?
Yes.
Watch this space, Kingy. Yep. Watch this space.
Andrew Daly, can we still get you guys talking crap for 3 hours on Thursday night? Get honest Patrick Dangerfield on the line. Maybe a Family Feud version of Benny's quiz. We survey Ben for his top responses to a general question and we have to figure out where his mind went on the answer.
That sounds pretty on the money.
I don't think the quiz is coming back this year.
It's not, is it?
No. Well, you haven't pushed for it.
Well, I can do it, but if you, it's up to you, Kingy. I don't. I just do what I'm told.
Good.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Do so. I do what I'm told.
Nuffy from Cario.
Oh, Nuff. Yes.
Kingy, Mike Amore, Channel 7. Nuff here. Do you think it will be an advantage or disadvantage for Geelong that they are not playing tomorrow night with all the planning around buys, etc.? Anyway, what are your thoughts on Donald Trump? Jeez, Nuff. It won't disadvantage greatly. Geelong will have planned themselves for tomorrow night, but clubs are.
Yeah, they're flexible and agile, Kingy. Yeah,
Premiers, SDK is in the ruck for the same reason Tom Stewart goes into the midfield. Also as a forward, Gary Rowan is greater than Patrick Dangerfield. End.
Hey, can you repeat that, sorry?
SDK is in the ruck for the same reason Tom Stewart goes into the midfield. Also as a forward, Gary Rowan is greater than Patrick Dangerfield.
I don't disagree, in fairness. I don't disagree, and I've said this, sometimes we sort of repeat ourselves on this, but I've just said a bit about Sam Duncan in the ruck, so we don't need to go there. Tom Stewart into the midfield, I agree with. I think you're trying to patch up something there that is, when you're taking away one of your great strengths in defence to try and patch up another area, I think it weakens your defence. And the other one, I don't know about that. I get Gary Rowan is a forward, so he knows the craft. He potentially plays within a structure. My concern with Dangerfield playing sort of any time permanent forward is that does he fit in with the structure of how the others need to work? Because
does Jeremy Cameron always fit in with
the structure? No, he doesn't. So can you have two players who do that? I don't know that you can. He can go down there, Dangerfield, for a few minutes and be a burst player, create a mismatch, create some havoc. Great, I'm happy with that. If you expect him to play there for two quarters, I think you need to have to know what the others are doing and play within a role. Now, Jeremy Cameron does that. He just seems to do whatever he's like, which is fair enough. He's earned the right to do that. So has Patrick Dangerfield. But I think if you've got two players doing that within the one forward line, I'm not sure it's going to function that well.
Where do you sit on, this is Arngold, where do you guys sit on balancing the need for player privacy versus transparency of the injury list?
Well, it depends what the injury. If it's just an injury, football injury, then we need to know. But all the ducks and drakes, if it's something that's of a personal nature, of whether it's home life or we don't need to be knowing
mental
it.
Health.
Yeah, we don't need to know that. But if they've done a hamstring and they're out for 4 weeks, if ducks and drakes played, that's rubbish. You get fined for that in the NFL if you don't disclose an injury and a player plays or doesn't play, you get fined.
Pitching outside leg, Mick Howley, the game has been postponed. Should we keep our eyes peeled for the sighting of Loch Ness up in Queensland?
In round three?
No.
Oh.
As in just there's going to be a lot of water.
Well, he could bob up Loch Ness. he got injured in bed, so I don't know if he wants to be involved in a cyclone because you want to keep him. Do you think he's going to come out?
I'm not sure the club are overly wrapped that got out. As in, Stephen King gave that up at a media conference that he goes, I think he was in bed.
Because Andrew Mackey said, who said that?
Yeah.
When we had him on.
Yeah.
And I jokingly asked him whether he'd done any mischief of himself in bed. And he basically said, who said that?
Yeah.
And you said it was your assistant coach.
Yeah.
I took it as Andrew Mackey thinking that was rubbish. Yeah. That someone has made that up.
It's legit.
It's actually legit, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. Stephen King hasn't made that up. You don't make that up.
Oh, you never know these days. Crikey.
Teddy G, how about playing Lawson Humphreys on a wing where his creative and accurate field kicking could open up the opposition?
Yeah.
I suspect that will happen. I reckon that's going to happen.
Has he got the tank?
Not yet.
I'm asking the question. I don't know.
He's another season away.
Yeah.
Another preseason.
I don't think that is the silliest suggestion. Is he a player who could play in the midfield?
Oh, eventually, I reckon he can.
Is he big enough?
He could be one of those outside players that you have the hard-working extractors get it out to him.
Yeah,
he's got a bit of burst.
Yep,
and
he's tough. He's tougher than you think,
and he doesn't mind going back with the fly.
No, he's got courage. He's got every trick covered. I just wonder whether his body shape would lend itself to playing in the midfield, or whether he might be better on a wing or at the moment.
I reckon eventually we might see him in the midfield.
Is he sharp enough in close? That
will come, I reckon.
He seems to think quick when he in defence, which is always a good sign. You need to think quick in the midfield. That's why Mark Blitzarves, I always get him. He doesn't think quick enough because he's not a midfielder. But Humphreys, I don't think that's a silly suggestion. I mean, just let his career unfold a little bit. And I mean, what's he played? 8 games or something?
10.
Yeah. Yep.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Common sense has prevailed. Boys, why do we have to have opening round? Just keep it at round one. Means we get to see Bailey Smith round one at home. What are you doing Thursday night? Special night call before round one. Yeah, we're not doing anything.
I'm at home. I don't know what I'll be doing, Kingy. Yep. Probably just rearranging my sock drawer.
Chris Quinet. Gents, wanted to get your thoughts on Jack Martin and whether you think he will get into the side. What does he bring and who does he replace?
Well, we've spoken about this a little bit. I don't know offhand who he replaces. He's probably there as a depth player in that you're not going to wheel out the same players every week. Somebody's likely to get injured at some point. Let's hope that doesn't happen, but it's a reality. Is he good enough to break in? Yes. Is he getting in over Ollie Henry right now? No. Is he getting in over Grime Myers? No. Is he getting in over Tyson Stengel? No. Yep. Is he getting in over Sean Manor? I'd say no, because Sean Manor's probably more versatile. And is he getting in over Brad Close? No. Brad Close probably has leg speed. So I think he'll get a chance. Yep. And when he does get his chance, he's going to have to take it, because I'd say he's down the pecking order in terms of getting a game as a half forward.
And Pickle, Tom Atkins. Tom Atkins looks lost in defence. Blame him in the midfield.
I agree.
If there's no spot, get a specialist small defender in with speed.
Yes.
Can't even imagine the damage Charlie Cameron would have caused on Thursday if it was going ahead.
Yes, we've said all that, and I actually wholeheartedly agree there with the Pickle.
Off the Big Footy Forum, post Essendon match simulation from Howler 41 was happy enough with the Cats hit out. Fox commentators love Danger Ford, but then Ollie Henry was in witness protection. As a flow on effect, unsure I like Danger Ford. Also, I can't work out how Jack Bowes runs, considering he doesn't have a left foot. How does a professional player get to the big spoke and not be able to kick non preferred?
Yeah.
Connor O'Sullivan must work at Detol, because early on he had some real clean hands. Has Tyson Stengel taken the mantle from Sam Menegola, the half and half pizza arrangement as a player with the blinkers on around goal? A couple of times had options inside, but blazed away Cheech and Chong style. I reckon Tyson Stengel actually only blazes away when he has assessed what's inside.
Yeah, I don't think he's a blaze away merchant.
He's unselfish.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't think he does blaze away. He will have a look, and he's fast enough to have a quick look, and then if there's nothing on, he'll have a shot, and he's got the skill sometimes to create some magic. But yeah, I think predominantly the one who was, I think, last year did get a little bit hungry at times, and it's a criticism, but he's a young player or an inexperienced player, is Manor.
Mm.
Manor at times was not playing in that final.
Yeah,
I reckon he should have dished off. He didn't. He went to have a shot.
Is that the one where it could have put the Cats further in front?
Yes,
would have put him more than five goals up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did. He went. He had a shot himself, and he should have dished it off.
They went the other end, and
yeah. And he, but I know just a few times watching him, think he should have dished that off. He didn't. Look, he's very inexperienced. But I wouldn't have said Tyson Stengel is a selfish player from that perspective.
Thought Mitch Nevitt played a good four quarter game.
Good first half. Second half, he got his hand on the ball, fumbled a lot. I'd be hoping that they play him, but we'll wait and see. I certainly don't think he's shored up a spot. So it'd be hit between him and Clark, maybe?
People shouldn't expect him to be Selwood or Dangerfield. I could see him having the importance of a Cam Guthrie, a key cog in the middle, but not the cream of the crop. Anyway, other clubs have injuries piling up. The Cats, reasonably clean bill of health. So excited for the season.
Yes.
Daz Broncos, bet you're happy you didn't have to pack the floaties and gum boots for work this week. Was jammed up at the Oscars red carpet this week, so missed the Dons game.
I was going to take a windbreak up there, Kingy.
A windbreaker.
Have you had a windbreak?
Seems like we did okay, but nothing spectacular. It is pre-season after all, so no biggie. Who benefits from the postponed match? I'd say the Lions, as they get a better list to choose from in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's possible, but, you know, look, it'll all come out in the wash. You've got to beat someone anywhere, and the Cats had obviously set themselves for tomorrow night, and they'll be able to set themselves for 3 weeks' time. They'll be able to obviously have some grounding with a game, two games under their belt. Well, no, game, one game. Round three, two games.
Two.
Yeah, they'll at least be able to attack the reigning Premier with two games under their belt. Will help them sort of possibly shape the team a little bit. You know, guys that we're talking about are on the fringe. Are they in or out? Are they playing well? Are they not playing well? You go up there perhaps tomorrow night with a little bit of unknown about those guys, hoping they do. Whereas at least by round three, you've got something to sort of look at and some data to go through and some vision to go through and say, yeah, look, he's playing well. It's so the Cats are from that perspective, because I don't know that Brisbane have as many sort of hanging as the Cats.
No.
They've got a few in the midfield hanging the Cats. Maybe some decisions up forward. I'm not sure. Brisbane is pretty much set. So maybe from that perspective, the Cats will be able to be in a better shape in 3 weeks' time.
And the talk of Atkins versus Closey for the same type of role. Closey kicked 31 goals in the VFL last year. That's actually not right. He kicked 17. Much better return than when I expected when I looked it up. Needs to keep pressing to play, but still that's something he's got to add to at the highest level. Go Cats.
Yeah, well, he's not. I don't think Closey, if you're getting Closey in to kick goals, You're in a world of hurt, like a world of hurt.
Fox Dog 50.
His role is to be Tom Atkins Mark II, tenacious, physical, tackle, pressure, not kick. If he kicks you a goal, fantastic, but that won't be his. If he has one season where he kicks more than 10 goals, I'll
go heavy tiggy. Fox Dog 50, Benny Cass, going to be a broken record all this year. For as long as Sam DeConing rucks, SDK isn't a ruckman's backside.
Yes.
Yes, he will play a good game one every 5 weeks. He'll get 20-plus disposals. Yes. But 80% modern player ruckman do that in today's game.
Yes.
Far superior, better key defender than ruck. I would say future All-Australian. It's going to make me frustrated.
Absolutely. Who's written that?
Fox Dog 50.
Yeah, I can't agree anymore. I think that's what will happen, but it's seemingly now, as I mentioned earlier, we're stuck with the Cats forging ahead with DeConing in the ruck. But I think that is all. Look, let's hope that Fox Dog and myself are proven wrong. But I just have a feeling that's how it's going to unfold.
Thanks to Kurzweil.
Yeah, Kurzweil, Jeremy and Kevin. What are their names? Jared and... What's his dad's name? What's the dad's name?
Mr. Kerr.
No, Gary.
Yeah, it is.
Is it Gary?
Yeah,
yes, Gary. So I didn't meet Gary, but I saw Gary. So I've met Jared. It's a highlight of this year so far. And I'd like to meet him again. So,
Are we doing a pre-round one show? Or are we reconvening next week? For?
We may as well reconvene, Kingy.
So what are those numbers again?
Put me on the spot here. 2,
yep.
15 and 35.
2, 15, 35.
Yeah.
Ryan Gamble gets a mention.
Ryan Gamble. There was another 15. I think. I'm trying to think of his name. Little meatball. He wore 15. Wasn't much good. Played a couple of senior games, I reckon.
Jordan Schroeder?
Yes, that's it. Jordan Schroeder. He was like a little meatball without the sauce.
So Dion Prestia.
Yeah, but he's not as much trouble as Dion Prestia. Sorry.
Good to see you, Benny.
Yeah, good work, King. You look forward to round, what zero? Round minus two, round one, whatever it is.
Kurz Hire, local for 40 years.